Learning Sefer Tehillim with a commentary by Lois, by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. This is Shir number 22. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this Shir on tape or CD, or any of our other Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. We are holding in chapter 44, Pasuk 23. And I'm going to repeat the Pasuk again. Ki olecho horadnu kol hayom nechshavnu ketzon tivcho. But for your sake we are killed all day. We are considered as sheep for the slaughter. This also refers to circumcision. For there were many occasions when the wicked nations decreed forced conversion upon us and made circumcision punishable by death. We nevertheless continued to perform this mitzvah. This was true in the time of Hashmoneans, and is also true in our own day, as the following episode makes clear. It took place during World War II in one of the death camps, where those accursed embodiments of evil, the Germans, assembled millions of our people for incineration. A mother held up a newborn infant son who had not been brought into the covenant of Abraham, and turning to another Jew said, "Here, circumcise the child, for I want him to die as a proper Jew." Right there and then, in the light cast by the flames of the death, the child was circumcised. But we are killed for your sake all day. It is not as if our afflictions would continue for a time and then cease. They continued all day without pause. Another interpretation says, when a Jew recites every day, "And you will love Hashem your God with all your heart and with all your soul," a pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim, and he stands ready to give up his life out of love for Hashem, this is reckoned to his credit, as if at that very moment he had actually been killed for your sake. The Sefer Hasidim writes, when a Jew is ridiculed for performing the mitzvah and he protests at the insults that are hurled at him, it is reckoned as if he had been killed sanctifying the name of Hashem, and his blood was spilled for your sake. For the blood first rushes to his face and then recedes, leaving him deathly pale. Pasuk Chav Dalet, Pasuk 24. Ura lama sisha nadonoi hakisa al tiznach lenetzach. Awaken, why do you seem to sleep, O Hashem? Arouse yourself, do not cast us off forever. Now that we have fallen to this lowest ebb of degradation, that we are thought of us as sheep for the slaughter, as we learned in the previous pasuk, and our belly cleaves to the earth, as we'll learn in two pasukim from now, we call out to you. Awaken, why do you seem to sleep, O Hashem? Arouse yourself, do not cast us off forever. If you see our troubles and do not respond, it is as if you are asleep and do not see anything. But even if for so many years you appear to be asleep, arouse yourself from now on. Do not cast us off forever. You seem to sleep. This interpretation is conveyed by the separation mark, vertical line between Tishon, sleep, and Adonai, Lord. In other words, the sleep is only meant as a metaphor. We do not ascribe actual bodily functions to Hashem. The present pasuk includes a hint to the horrendous calamity that befell our generation between the years 1939 and 1945 during the World War II, when the most evil of persecutors, may his name and remembrance be erased, rose up and sought to destroy and kill and annihilate all the Jewish people, like we find in Megillas Esther. With the help of his own foul people and his foul henchmen from other lands, he succeeded in annihilating 6 million Jews. May God avenge their blood. Pasuk Chav Hei, Pasuk 25. Lama panecha tastir tishkach on yenu v'lachatzenu. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? It is your way to stand by the poor and helpless, so why do you hide your face, your divine presence? You about whom it says, Hashem seeks to pursue, a pasuk that's found in Kehelis. Why do you forget our affliction and our oppression? This entire confrontation is a figurative expression by analogy with the human sphere. As the Talmud says, the Torah is spoken the language of man. Pasuk Chavav, Pasuk 26. For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaves to the earth. We are so overwhelmed by our troubles that our soul is bowed down to the dust. We do not even possess enough strength to support ourselves with our hands, so our belly cleaves to the earth. When one falls on his hands, he can rise by his own power, but not if one falls on his belly. The way of Hashem is not as the way of flesh and blood. When a man sees a well-established and prosperous individual, he helps him stand and offers his assistance. When he sees someone collapse, he helps him fall. It is otherwise in relationship to Hashem, blessed be He. When he sees a man grow haughty, he makes him fall. And when he sees a man fall to the lowest level, he makes him stand up. As it says, he raises up the poor and helpless out of the dust, the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. David says the same thing here. And he also goes on to say, when I said my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Hashem, help me up. For our soul is bowed down to the dust. We have already reached the lowest point of the fall, and the time to rise up has come. Thus it says, Naflo lo sosif kum besulas Yisrael. When our sages have explained as follows, if she has fallen so low that she cannot continue to fall, Naflo lo sosif, then the moment has come to say, Arise, O Virgin Israel, Kum Mesulas Yisrael. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Pasuk 27. Kum Ez Rasul Lanu Deinu Laman Chastecho. Arise for our help and redeem us by your merciful loving kindness. We do not approach you for help and the strength of our righteous deeds. Act by virtue of your loving kindness. We ask for your loving kindness because of our trust in you. As it says, He that trusts in Hashem will be surrounded by loving kindness. The pasuk we already learned. Our sages elaborate in five places in Book 1 of Tehillim, did David call upon Hashem to arise. But Hashem said to him, I will not arise until the poor, the plundered, and the needy continue to groan. Thus it says, For the plunder of the poor, for the groans of the needy, now I will arise. Compare it to a man who was traveling with his son from city to city. By the time they traversed half the distance, the lad grew tired and cried out, Father, Father, when will we reach the city? His father answered, Wait, the time will come when we will enter the city. They walked a bit more, and the son again cried out, When will we reach the city? I'm far too exhausted already. The reply came, Wait only a little more, and we will come to the city. Thus they went for the entire journey, until at last they arrived. My son, let this be your sign. When you reach the cemetery, know that the city is nearby. Similarly, the Jewish people in exile cry out to Hashem, When will the redemption come? He tells them, My children, when terrible afflictions strike you, be assured that deliverance is close at hand. Thus the Navi Yirmiyahu says, It is a time of trouble to Yaakov, but we will be saved out of it. Hashem has promised that when we descend to the lowest point, immediately the ascent will begin. As it says in Chumash Shmos, And he will go up from the land. That is to say, after we will have reached the nadir of our situation, where our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaves to the earth, then you will arise for our help and redeem us by your loving kindness. There is the indication here that our enslavement to the nations will cease prior to the full redemption. That is, first you will arise for our help to lift us from the dust, and then you will redeem us by your loving kindness. The same thing happened in Mitzrayim. First came the Exodus, and only later the Jews entered the promised land there to Israel. There is this difference, however, that the final redemption will last forever. Now we go to chapter 45, Pasuk 1. Lamdatzeach al Shoshanim v'nei Korach maskil shir yedidos. For the conductor upon Shoshanim roses the psalm of the sons of Korach Maskil, a song of loves. The present psalm describes the virtues of a true king of the Jewish people. If he possesses all the qualities of excellence listed here, he merits to achieve glory and splendor, and his reign endures. Some say that the sons of Korach allude here to David HaMelech, but others say that they allude to the Messianic king. There is also an allusion to the high stature of Torah scholars. They are also called kings. The psukim that speak of the queen then refer to the soul. If the present psalm speaks of the Messianic King, the previous psalm spoke of exile that will be followed by the redemption. There it said, "You have cast off and brought us to confusion and shame, and you do not go forth with our host." And here the Torah announces the good tidings that a previous love between Hashem and the Jewish people will yet return. Indeed, it will grow stronger than it was in both its physical and spiritual manifestations. The psalm is therefore called a song of loves in the plural. Within the same interpretation, Yedidos alludes to the name of the Mashiach, Yedidya, of one whom Hashem loves, or else one who loves Hashem. The present psalm is called here Shoshanim, roses, for it speaks favorably of the people of Israel who are called Shoshanim. Like a rose among thorns, so is my beloved among the daughters, a pasuk that's found in Shir Ashir. It's also called Shir Yedidos, a song of Yedidos, because the name of the Messianic king will be Yedidya, a friend of Hashem, the same name his forefather King David was given. Furthermore, because the psalm contains words of wisdom and enlightenment, it's also called Maskil. Thus it says about the Messianic king, "Behold, my servant will be enlightened. He will be exalted and extolled and be very high." A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. And our sages elaborate, "He will be exalted and extolled and be very high, more so than the others." According to the interpretation that the present psalm recounts the virtues of David HaMelech and the splendor of his greatness, it is called a song of loves because he was beloved by Hashem and beloved by his people. Some say that the psalm speaks in praise of the sons of Korach, who were as roses among thorns, a pasuk that is found in Shir Hashirim, and were saved from the fate that befell Korach's band. They were like roses whom Hashem plucked from the midst of Korach's band. In a related sense too, they were like a rose which opens its heart to receive the dew and then blossoms beautifully. Thus it says, "I will be as the dew to Israel. He will flower like the rose," a pasuk in Hosea, which is interpreted to mean, when will the Jewish people flower? When they will be like the rose whose heart opens to receive the dew. The Torah says that if a man opens his heart, he merits to receive life-giving dew, as happened to the sons of Korach. Because they repented wholeheartedly, they merited a share in the world to come and were called roses. Some say that because the present psalm speaks about the qualities of righteous people, it was based on the sons of Korach, who spurned the counsel of their father and cleaved to Hashem, was called Yedid, a friend. Hence it begins with the word Lam Natzeach, literally to the victor. The sons of Korach were victorious by being enlightened, Maskil. A parable and its meaning. The Medrash says a king visited another country, and the people there wanted to place on his head a gold crown embellished with precious gems and pearls. However, the king's courtiers informed them in his name, "Our king does not desire a gold crown. If roses are to be found, make him a crown of roses." The sons of Korach shared the view of the others in his band that Hashem wanted gold trays, but Hashem said to them, "What need have I of gold, when the silver is mine and the gold is mine?" It's a pasuk that is found in Haggai. "Indeed, what need have I even of spice offerings? What then do I seek? Roses?" Whereupon the sons of Korach said, "We are as roses." So Hashem said to them, "You have been victorious." To the victor of roses, or the sons of Korach the enlightened, a song of loves. The meaning of this matter is as follows. The high value of precious stones and pearls is due to their fewness in this world, scarcity in this world. Roses are different. Although plentiful, they are enjoyed by everyone rather than only by a privileged few. The above parable says that it is God's will for everyone in the community to strive for excellence. Perfection should not be the concern solely of only a privileged few. Thus, our sages point to the difference between Chanoch and Moshe. Chanoch, who walked with Hashem, like we find in Chumash Bereishis, departed before his time, and after his death came the flood. But when Moshe died, he left behind him a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, like we find in Chumash Shemos. The sons of Korach understood the greatness of Moshe, our teacher. they saw that he sacrificed himself for the good of the community of Israel, and even now he strove to preserve the unity of the Jewish people by speaking as he did to their father. So they did not heed Korach's bitter words that Moshe was not greater than him. That is what a Chachamim meant by saying that the sons of Korach cried out, "We are roses," and Hashem replied, "You have been victorious. It is written with me on high that this is my will." Accordingly, the pasuk here says that the sons of Korach were maskil. They showed enlightened understanding with their song of loves for Hashem and for Moshe. Our sages draw upon another parable. A Roman matron saw three men being led out to be crucified, and she ransomed them. Many days later, she beheld a caravan of travelers bearing the imperial flag. The same thing happened to the sons of Korach, who disagreed with their father. Korach was swallowed up by the earth, but his sons, because they repented, became prophets and roses. The rose is beautiful to behold and can also be enjoyed for its fine smell. A similar thing may be said about the present psalm. The more profoundly it is contemplated, the more one can discover its spirit of wisdom and understanding. Some say that David composed this psalm about his son Shlomo. Another opinion is that it speaks about a chassan, a bridegroom, at the day of his wedding. According to the interpretation that the psalm refers to Torah scholars, David composed the song in their honor. They are soft and pliant as the rose, beautiful as the rose, and their good deeds are as pleasing as the rose. Their words bring enlightenment, hence maskil, when repeated by interpreters before the pulpit. Hence, this is a song of loves, a song about those who are beloved. It comes in praise of Talmidei Chachamim, who are loved by the people. Literally, Namnaseach HaShoshanim means for the conductor upon Shoshanim, certain musical instruments that accompanied the chanting of this psalm. The shape of the instrument resembled a rose. Pasuk Beis, Pasuk 2. Rochash Libi Dover Tov Omer Ani Masai Lemelech Lashoni Eit Sofer Mohir. My heart has murmured a good thing. I say, my work is for about a king. My tongue is the fluent pen of a quick scribe. Within the interpretation that the psalm speaks of the Messianic king, the singer begins his song by declaring, "Within my heart stirred a good thing, a work, a chant of poetry for the King Mashiach. My tongue is as the fluent pen of a quick scribe. It speaks smoothly and readily about him. Like the swift pen of a quick scribe who writes without making pauses, I say these things easily about the Messianic king. I want to describe the deeds and excellent qualities of the future Messianic king. I want to do so via speech, say my work about a king, and in writing my tongue is the fluent pen of a quick scribe." The singer praises what his heart has murmured to him about the Mashiach as a good thing. Although there are things which the heart does not reveal to the mouth, for instance, when the exile will end, in my present song I will say what I know about the Messianic king. Then again the singer declares, "Whenever the heart murmurs a good thing to me, my tongue becomes the fluent pen of a quick scribe. This is so even when I'm addressing a king." Another emphasis, when the heart ponders well beforehand what to say to a king, the words will pass out of the mouth quickly. Writing things down helps one remember, and also saying them helps one remember. My heart has murmured a good thing. No improper thought entered my heart, and the absolute integrity of all my work could be told to the king himself. Literally, Omer ani masei lemelech, I tell my works to a king. When one records something in writing, he cannot retract what he has written. Similarly, the tzaddik who speaks with justice and integrity has no need to retract his words. Accordingly, the righteous singer says, "My tongue is as the pen of a quick scribe." The present pasuk lists four necessary qualities of a good speaker. 1. My heart has murmured. Before speaking, he should ponder what he is about to say. 2. A good word, daber, not devouring words. Let him be as brief as possible. 3. A good word. What he says should be pleasing, good to the listener's ears. 4. My tongue is the pen of a quick scribe. It should have a fluent, well-rehearsed delivery. When performing a good thing, one should say, that it is for the sake of Hashem. My work is for the sake of the King of Kings. I say that my work poem is not the result of my own power, but stems from the Holy Spirit, just as the pen used by a scribe cannot claim superiority over the scribe. Torah is called good, which yields the following interpretation. When one thinks the Torah thought that corresponds to the truth, it will be articulated in an orderly fashion, for there is help from heaven. Hence the scripture says here that if my heart has murmured a good word, I think a Torah thought truly, then I say that my achievement is due to the King of the world. The proof is that I express it fluently. My tongue is the pen of a quick scribe. My heart has murmured a good thing. The sons of Korach declared, our hearts contemplated a good thing, but we did not have sufficient time to express the song with our lips. To what can this be compared? A man was approaching the platform when he saw his creditor. Wait until I come down from the platform, he said, and I will then pay you. Similarly, the sons of Korach said, we do not have the time to chant this song, but as soon as we are free, I will tell my works to the king. It is also indicated how to perform good deeds. Begin at once by doing, not by talking about how much there is to be done. Thus the singer says, my heart murmured a good thing. When I have thought of a good deed, I say my works to the king. I immediately perform the deed for the sake of the King of Kings. What I say becomes known only through my performance. If first one speaks of the deed, one's desire to perform it is cooled off. My tongue, if I only speak of it, that's an easy thing, like the pen of a quick scribe. The main thing is the deed. The singer began the psalm by declaring for the conductor Pantrashan Ambrosius a psalm of the sons of Korach. There is an allusion here to the richness of the Torah and its abundant mitzvahs. They are as plentiful as the many leaves of the rose. Now he says that this does not diminish the importance of any single thought. My heart murmured a good thing. I thought a single thought, and that is a good thing. The thought will rise on high ahead of everything else and be welcomed by the master of the world. Pasuk Gimel. Yof yofis mipnei adam hutzak chein besifsoi secha al kein berachecho lehim l'olam. You are more fair than the other children of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore Hashem has blessed you forever. The psalm goes on to list all the praiseworthy qualities a king must possess. The first attribute is external beauty, yofyos. As it says, your eyes will see the king in his beauty, b'yofyof. A pasuk is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. The second attribute is strength and valor in war, as we find in the case of Yiftach in Sefer Shoftim. The third attribute is wisdom, lest he be scorned in the eyes of the Chachamim. The fourth attribute is command a large army of warriors who love him. The fifth attribute is noble birth. The sixth attribute is the love of justice. The seventh attribute is possession of excellent character traits. The eighth attribute is to be served by ministers of noble lineage and to have about him a household of noble people. The ninth attribute is for other kings to honor him out of a genuine desire to do so rather than under duress. The tenth attribute is to have sons worthy of succeeding him. Regarding the first attribute, physical beauty, the pasuk says, grace is poured upon your lips. Literally, the lips of the king were anointed with a special substance out of a vessel. The vessel will be totally drained of its contents, lest it be used to anoint someone else. This is appropriate for the Messianic king, of whom it is said, Hashem has blessed you forever. No other king will reign after him, as it says in Yechezkel, and my servant David will be their prince forever. The singer says of the Messianic king, you are more handsome in appearance than any other man, and grace is poured upon your lips. The words you speak are full of grace, as if grace had been poured upon your lips. Hashem has blessed you forever, for you have found favor in all eyes. Hashem has blessed you forever, since grace and the gift of pleasant song are attractive qualities in a person. The singer depicts all the perfections of the Messianic king. He will complete in every way, as it says, behold, my servant will be enlightened. He will be exalted and extolled, and be very high, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. He also claims the power of his word, as Yeshayahu said, and there will come forth a rod out of the stem of Yishai. He will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. The pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. He will gird his sword in the war of Gog and Magog, and through victory over the nations will his splendor and majesty become manifest. You are more fair than the other children of men. May the beauty of your righteousness suppress that of all other men, and may you merit to pass judgment that is not based on the testimony of witnesses. Thus the prophet says about the Messianic king, and he will not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. Grace is poured upon your lips means prophecy. The gift of prophecy is an act of grace from Hashem, as it says there about the Mashiach, and the Spirit of Hashem will rest upon him. Accordingly, the pasuk here concludes, therefore Hashem has blessed you forever. The Mashiach will be endowed with all these attributes of excellence because Hashem will bless him. In accordance with the alternative interpretation that the present pasuk refers to David, you are more fair than other children of men, praises David's external beauty, as it says, ruddy with fine eyes and good looking, a pasuk that's found in Shmuel Aleph. Grace is poured upon your lips because he was the sweet singer of Klal Yisrael. Although the present pasuk speaks explicitly of his external beauty and his gift of speech, figuratively, it is a description of his great soul, for a man's inner speech is to be found in his soul. Hence the singer says, you are more fair than the other children of men. How can we notice? For grace is poured upon your lips. We know a man by his speech. Our sages teach that when a person is regarded favorably by his fellow men, he also finds favor in God's sight. Similarly, the pasuk says here literally, you are fair by the children of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore Hashem has blessed you forever. Thus it says, so shall you find grace and good understanding in the sight of Hashem and man. It's a pasuk that's found in Mishlei. Great wisdom and great beauty are not usually found in the same person. The Talmud relates that a Roman matron once called Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya beautiful wisdom in an ugly vessel. His reply was, compare it to wine that does not preserve well except in an earthenware dish. The Messianic king, however, will merit to be both wise and handsome. As the pasuk says here, you are more fair than the other children of men, and yet grace is poured from your lips. How is this unusual combination possible? For Hashem has blessed you forever. Not words, but actual deeds are of importance. He said earlier, and here he continues by saying, if you are a man of action and you convince others to act, then you are more fair than other children of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. You are fair in word and deed, and your reward will be very great. Therefore Hashem has blessed you forever. When is your prayer accepted and high? When you are kept fair as one of the children of men. If in your conduct you keep the human form in its godly aspect, then grace is poured upon your lips. Thus it says, show me your countenance, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, and your countenance is comely. A pasuk that's found in Shir HaShirim. Another interpretation says, you are fair from the children of men. Let others praise you. Let them tell you that you are beautiful. Do not try to elicit their praise and respect by deliberately ingrating self. Hashem will bless you when you speak words of Torah, and then everyone will know that you are a sage. In accordance with Rashi's interpretation that this psalm speaks of Torah scholars, the present verse says, you are more fair than the other children of men. The excellence of Talmidei Chachamim suppresses the merit of those who devote themselves to the transient pursuits of everyday life. Why? For the Talmud Chacham applies Torah law to everyday life. Grace is poured upon your lips. He is assisted from heaven to rule in accordance with the Halacha. Our sages applied the present pasuk to Avram. You are more fair than the other children of Adam. They also apply it to Moshe, who defended the Jewish people. You are more fair than the other children of Adam, more than Shesh and Chanoch. grace is poured upon your lips, more than for Noah and his sons. Therefore Hashem your God has anointed you, more so than he did for Avram and Yitzchak, with the oil of gladness, which is more than he did for Yaakov and for your fellows, the other prophets. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Chanoch Harbucha al Yorech Gibor Hoidcho Vahadorecha. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O Mighty One, your majesty and your splendor. Gird your sword upon your thigh. This corresponds to the attribute of might and power mentioned earlier as a desirable quality in a king. Not every king is a great warrior who can exalt when girding on the sword, as it says in Melachim, "Let him not that girds on his harness boast himself." But the king Mashiach, merely by putting on his sword, would immediately be able to offer the prayer of victory as if he had returned from the war after having defeated his enemies. Merely gird your sword upon your thigh, and already your majesty and your splendor will be evident. Please turn. Although the days of the Mashiach will be days of peace, at the outset there will be days of war, the war of Gog and Magog. Some explain instead they will fear you as one fears a mighty warrior when he girds his sword upon his thigh. Please turn tape over to side B. Another interpretation says, "What are your harness and your sword? Your majesty and your splendor are your harness and your sword. You will have no need of a sword." Then again, the singer calls upon the king to be a valiant warrior, to execute judgment and extirpate the thorns from the vineyard. A king must not be soft-hearted. Another interpretation says, "True heroism is not to kill others, but to subdue one's passions." Accordingly, the singer says here, "Gird your sword upon your thigh, O Mighty One, for that is your majesty and your splendor. Be victorious over yourself." Pasuk 5. V'hadod cho selach rechav al devar emes v'anvot tzedek v'ser chor noro'os yiminecha, and in your splendor prosper, ride on in behalf of truth and humility and righteousness, and let your right hand teach you awesome things. What is the road to success? Ride on in behalf of truth and humility and righteousness. When you pass in triumph over your enemies, when you trample them, literally ride over them, do not subjugate them out of pride and haughty heart. Proceed by truth, humility, and righteousness. This will instruct you to perform tremendous and awesome deeds against your enemies. Your splendor. These are the essential attributes which a king must possess. How different are the ambitions of kings in our time who take pride mainly in physical powers and the conquest of other kingdoms. Gird your sword upon your thigh, not for war but for decoration. A parade of mighty warriors adorns a kingdom. Your true splendor lies not in conquest by the sword and not in war, but if you will ride on in behalf of truth. Figuratively, a steed equipped for war represents truth. Do not come like a proud rider on his horse, but come in humility and righteousness to champion the truth. By truth, humility, and righteousness, you will vanquish your enemies. You will perform such wondrous deeds against them that they will then be afraid to rebel against your domination. This is an allusion to the mighty spirit that will characterize the Mashiach, as described by the Navi Yeshayahu. Thus, to ride on in splendor and majesty is a metaphor for possession of wisdom. Truth corresponds to faithfulness will girdle his reins. Humility corresponds two he will decide with equity for the meek of the earth, and righteousness corresponds to righteousness will be the girdle of his loins. All this is found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Let your right hand teach you awesome things. Fear of Hashem will guide you, and you will see the awesome things done by your right hand. Regarding the wisdom of King Mashiach, the singer explains here that wisdom will be the source of his splendor and majesty. As Yeshayahu says, with the breath of his lips will he slay the wicked. A man's true might and splendor is to succeed by riding, striving in behalf of truth. At all times let your majesty and your splendor come from walking in the ways of perfection and serving Hashem. Some exhibit spurious humility when the inner self is not the same as the outer self. Hence the juxtaposition here of truth, humility, and righteousness. Let there be true humility, which is a test of righteousness. Humility and justice, tzedek, humility based on justice. One must practice humility in proper measure and balance. It must be justified humility. Humility is a desirable trait in a king, as it says, that his heart be not lifted up above his brothers. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. In a related sense, humility and righteousness means compassion. A king should not be cruel to his people. It's also necessary that he adhere to the truth, that is, honor his promises. To do otherwise disgraces him, as our sages teach. When a government issues a proclamation, it does not retract it. Then again, the scripture here says to the king, let your right hand, which administers justice and executes judgment, teach you awesome things so that your enemies will fear you. The proper combination of truth, humility, and justice or righteousness will teach you to demonstrate might with your right hand. Some explain that humility brings on the Holy Spirit. If you practice humility, this will let the right hand teach you awesome things. The Medrash relates these pesukim to the sages of Israel. When a Talmud Chacham accepts the views of his colleagues, not in order to make himself haughtier, but in recognition of the truth, their views are then as splendid in their excellence as the views expressed by Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yonos Chanan when engaged in sharp argument. Within Rashi's interpretation that the present psalm speaks in praise of Torah scholars, the previous pasuk says, gird your sword upon your thigh to wage the battle of Torah. Subtly it is explained, if you engage your colleague in Torah argument and he vanquishes you, admit to the truth. That is your splendor. Hence it says here, your majesty and your splendor. In your splendor, ride on in behalf of truth and humility and righteousness. Seek victory for the sake of knowing the Torah, and you will merit to receive the reward. Length of days is in her right hand, a pasuk that's found in Mishle. This reward is reserved for those who cleave to the Torah solely for her own sake. Similarly, our sages teach, when two Torah scholars sharpen each other's wits in halachic discussion, Hashem grants them success. As it says, V'haderach tzalach, do not read V'haderach, your splendor, but V'hadrach, your sharpness. That is to say, in your sharpness prosper. Lest we say that he prospers even when he studies with an ulterior motive, the Torah says, in behalf of truth, might we say that he prospers even if he grows haughty? So the Torah says, in humility and righteousness, then only is he deemed worthy of acquiring possession of the Torah that was given by the right hand, as we find in Chumash Devarim. As it says, let your right hand teach you awesome things. Furthermore, one merits to possess those things that are in the right hand of the Torah. As it says in Mishle, length of days is in her right hand. For those that are interested, the entire Mishle has been translated with the Amloi's commentary on tape or CD. Please call us if you're interested. Because Vahadrach appears as the concluding term of the previous pasuk, and our sages said about the beginning term of the present pasuk, do not read it as hadrach, but the hadrich, let it guide you.
The end of Pasuk Dalet says, Vahado Recho. A subtle reading says, do not read Vahadroch, but Vahadroch in the sense of Chidud, a sharpening of wits corresponding to the following text of Tosfos. If they come to ask for halachic guidance, then you will teach them sharply, Mishinantam. The words of the Torah should be sharply and clearly articulated. But if they come to test your knowledge, say, I do not know. Hence the present Pasuk says, V'chidudcho v'aderech, in behalf of truth, answer sharply. That is, answered once when they come for halachic guidance. On occasion, the opposite is called for, namely, anova v'tzedek, humility and righteousness. When you are asked if you know a particular text in the Gemara, reply in a humble manner. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Chitzecho shenunim amim tachtecho yiplu belev oyve hamelech. Your arrows are sharpened, nations fall under you in the heart of the enemies of the king. Let your enemy arrows be sharpened, not dulled, in the heart of the enemies of the king. Then will all the nations fall under you and no longer lift their heads before you. Some explain that fall pertains both to what lies ahead in the pasuk and behind. That is, nations will fall under you, and they, the arrows, will fall in the heart of the enemies of the king. Another interpretation says the pasuk describes a great army standing in readiness before the king. Your arrows are sharpened, and there's no need to sharpen them. Figuratively, this describes the eagerness of his army to obey the king's command. With the interpretation that the psalm refers to the Mashiach, the arrow corresponds to what Yeshayahu said, that he will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. Pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7, Tis'acho le'him olam v'ed shevet mishor shevet malchusecho. Your throne of God is forever and ever. The scepter of equity is the scepter of your kingdom. Here, throne and scepter are understood by some as referring to God the ruler. Others see it as referring to a human ruler whose throne and scepter were given to him by Hashem. Because the scepter of your kingdom will be a scepter of equity, Hashem will safeguard your throne forever and ever. Just as the throne of Hashem endures forever and to all eternity, so will your throne endure forever and ever. Kingship will not cease from David's seed, as when Hashem promised, his seed will I cause to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. His seed will endure forever, his throne as the sun before me. The Torah lists three things a king must know to guide his conduct. One, your throne is from Hashem. He must know that he rules not by his own power, but by divine power, like a clerk who works under orders from the king. Two, the scepter of equity is the scepter of your kingdom. Kings make decrees by means of their scepters, a scepter being the emblem of their kingship. And the Torah says here that the seal of your kingdom, the scepter, will be a seal of equity. This will be to your glory. As Yeshayahu says, but with righteousness, justice will he judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. Then again it says, you will make friends with good people, not with those who are depraved. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. David also said earlier, I have not sat with men of vanity. Therefore Hashem, your God, has anointed you with oil of gladness above your fellows. Although your companions are worthy men of stature, you stand higher, for they do not possess all your qualities of excellence. A test of their excellence is that they will all rejoice with gladness in your kingship. They will be happy that Hashem has anointed you with the oil. When a king of Israel is found worthy of ascending to kingship, the throne on which he sits is not his own throne. It belongs to Hashem. Thus it says regarding Shlomo, that Shlomo sat on the throne of Hashem as a king, pasuk found in Divrei Hayomim. How did Shlomo merit to kingship? For he asked for knowledge and enlightened understanding to judge his, which is his people, as found in Melachim Aleph, with equity. Accordingly, The singer says here, your throne of God is forever and ever. The scepter of equity is the scepter of your kingdom. The Messianic King has now been acclaimed for all the attributes of excellence listed earlier. Beauty and grace of wise speech and practical understanding. The power to achieve victory. As we learned earlier, such bountiful well-being is most certainly a special gift from Hashem. His throne is of Hashem. The reason he deserves so much is that the scepter of his kingdom is a scepter of equity. Moreover, he rightfully deserves the throne because he is of the tribe of Yehuda. Shevet can mean tribe, and it can also mean scepter. A subtle interpretation says that the Torah speaks about two kinds of kings. One imposes his authority by the strength of his arm and his arrows, as we learn two psukim back, and as a result, nations fall under you. In their hearts, however, they are all enemies of the king. When is your throne of God forever and ever? When the scepter of equity is the scepter of your kingdom. With the interpretation that the reference is to the Messianic king, your throne of Hashem corresponds to the words of Yeshayahu, that his delight will be in the fear of Hashem. Forever and ever corresponds to my servant David, will be their prince forever and ever. Pasuk that's found in Sefer Yechezkel. Pasuk 8. Ahavta tzedek v'tisno resha al kein mishachacho lehim elohecho shemen sosa mechaveirecho. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore Hashem, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Having spoken of David's reward for exercising his might, probably, and adhering to the truth, the singer now refers to his reward for practicing humility and righteousness. Because you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness, which attests to humility, since wickedness is the opposite of humility, pride being the cause of evil doing, Hashem your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Choice aromatic oil of gladness, was used by Shmuel to anoint him. Ordinarily, there is jealousy when in a group of peers one is elevated above his fellows. But they will not be envious of you. On the contrary, even your fellows will rejoice in you and in your elevation. Then again, your fellows refers to all his contemporaries. The whole world rejoiced and was glad when Hashem made you rise above your contemporaries and choose you to be king. In another sense, it is as if the anointing oil itself rejoiced. If, however, a king is not righteous, the oil is, so to speak, saddened. A king only becomes worthy of kingship if he is imbued with good personality traits. The merit of one's ancestors is not sufficient. Our sages have expressed this as follows. If one is worthy of kingship, then the crown of royalty fits him. Whereas if one is not worthy of kingship, the crown of royalty does not fit him. Shlomo merited to be king because he did not ask for gold or silver, but for wisdom to rule his people justly. Accordingly, the scripture says here, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore Hashem your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. According to an interpretation that the psalm pertains to the Messianic king, you have loved righteousness corresponds to with righteousness will he judge, a pasuk found in Yeshayahu, and hated wickedness corresponds to will he slay the wicked. Therefore Hashem your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows to be the Messianic king. The gift of prophecy is called gladness, as it says, restore to me the gladness of your deliverance. For prophecy comes only in the midst of rejoicing. Above your fellows in the Messianic age, all the people of Israel will be prophets, but the Mashiach will be a greater prophet. The law is that a son who succeeds his father to the throne is not anointed. Accordingly, the scripture here explains why the Mashiach, the son of David, is to be anointed with the oil of anointment. It is God's will to proclaim the beauty of his perfection before all the nations, and he will extend the Messianic throne not only as an inheritance from his forefather David, but on his own merit. Hence the singer says, you, the Mashiach, have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore Hashem, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. This will take place in the sight of all the other kings, your fellows. The Medrash applies this pasuk to Avram, who loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Thus he endeavored to find merit in the people of Sodom to save them. Hashem said to him, "You love to justify my creatures and hated to condemn them. Therefore I will anoint you with the oil of gladness above your fellows." Pasuk 9. Mor va'aholos ketzios kol bigdosecho min hichle shein mini simchucha. Murph and aloes and cashmere are all your garments out of your ivory palaces. From them, me, have they made you glad. Having praised the qualities of excellence required by a king as the foundation for running a kingdom, the singer now turns to the royal robes a king must wear, for splendid garments honor their wearer, as it says about the robes of the high priest, "And you will make holy garments for Aaron your brother for honor and for beauty." A pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. The royal residence must also be splendid. Out of ivory palaces from me have they made you glad. You will have dwelling places that will make you happy. Your garments will exude an aroma as the aroma of spices taken from ivory palaces. This is a figurative reference to good deeds that give one a good name among men, even as a good scent attracts attention. The attributes acclaimed earlier are likened here to garments. Similarly, it says, "At all times let your garments be white." It's a pasuk that's found in Kehelet. Then again, fine qualities are likened to a variety of spices, myrrh, aloes, and cassia. They exude distinctly fine aromas. These spices are found in the sea and on land and are made from living things. They are kept in spice boxes, miniature palaces made of ivory. From me have they made you glad. Happiness comes from on high. Similarly, our sages have said, the aroma of garments worn by the righteous is as of the world to come. It is a metaphorical allusion to the appeal exerted by the tzaddik's fine character traits. Another reading of the words, "Mani simchuch," "From there have they made you glad." Your good qualities come from the source of your gladness and your success. That is from Hashem, who appointed you and guided you to redeem his people. Then again, the pasuk depicts those necessary spiritual qualities which heaven demands from a king. Just as people enjoy a fine aroma and move away from a bad smell, so it is human nature to be drawn to individuals who are imbued with fine character traits. The singer says here of the king, "He is so rich in fine qualities that even his garments seem to possess them." Not only do some of his garments exude this aroma, all of the garments do so. There is a hint that the Messianic king will be anointed from the supernal palaces of oil to give him godly qualities. As it says, "I saw in night visions, and behold, one like a son of man came with the clouds of heaven." Pasuk that's found in Sefer Daniel. The different spices mentioned here are metaphorical allusions to different things. One interpretation says, myrrh represents fear of God. Aloes represent the Torah, and cashmere are all of your garments. It refers to garments that are woven out of the words of the Torah. They give off a fine aroma, are intellectually pleasing. If, however, Torah study is accompanied by vanity and pride, it gives off a foul smell. What smells bad? A devout chassid was walking with the students when they came across a dead animal. "What a terrible smell," they exclaimed, and held their noses. "But how nice are its teeth," said the chassid. Later they came across a man who was awfully vain, and the chassid held his nose. "His smell is worse than the smell of the carcass," he said. Myrrh is musk. Rav Haigon identifies it as the resin of the tree, and it has a nice aroma. Aloes is a spice called sunbol in Arabic. Cassia is the Aramaic of kida in Hebrew, an act of bowing down. In Arabic, this spice is called inbur. All your garments smell delightfully, like the aromas of these special spices in their ivory containers, palaces. They have made you glad, even as a beautiful home expands the heart. The entire pasuk is a figurative reference to good deeds. The Baal Hamor writes that this tree, all mirth, is nowhere to be found except in the Garden of Eden. The wind breaks off its branches and casts them into the river Pishon, that passes the Garden of Eden. From there they are collected by migrants. Thus it says, like aloes which Hashem has planted, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Bamidbar. This explains the meaning here of mirth and aloes that come out of ivory palaces in the Garden of Eden. Hence, from me have they made you glad. The principal joy is reserved for the Garden of Eden, which is unlike any joy known in this world. With the interpretation that the present psalm comes in praise of the Messianic King, the singer depicts his abundant wealth and his greatness. The beauty and splendor of your sitting places will be like thrones and ivory palaces, and the queen will be seated at your right hand. This is going to be the next pasuk. The king's daughters will be among your favorites to honor favored Mashiach. This parallels Yeshayahu's description. A root of Yishai will stand as a banner of our nation, and the nations will seek it, and his resting place will be glorious. Again, this is a pasuk that's found in Yeshayahu. That is to say, all the nations will come to render him honor. Pasuk Yud, pasuk 10. Benos melochim b'kvosecho nitzvo shegal limincho b'chesem ofir. King's daughters are among your favorites. At your right hand is placed the queen in gold of Ophir. King's daughters are among your favorites. Every king will happily give you his daughter in marriage. But you will only wed a proper daughter of Israel. She will be your queen, placed at your right hand in gold of Ophir. She will be the one to dwell always in your bedchamber. Similarly, it says in Nehemiah, and the queen also sitting by him, V'hashgal Yosheves Etzlo. Some translate the word Bikrosecho as they will visit you, of the root Bikar, king's daughters will visit you. It may also be translated as they will honor you, of the root of the word Yakor, precious, honored. It adds honor to the kingdom when a king honors his queen by having her sit at his right hand, not at his left, dressed in gold of Ophir. When king's daughters hear of the honor you bestow upon the queen, they will visit you to behold the queen. Another interpretation says, king's daughters go everywhere to seek out the pleasures of this world. Instead, they will visit you attracted by your qualities of excellence. They will forgo the mundane attractions. There is also an allusion here to the Messianic age, when we will marry to behold the fulfillment of Hashem's promise that kings will be your foster fathers and their queens your nursing mothers, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. All the nations on earth will recognize the special qualities of the Jewish people. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Shimi basuri vahati oznech v'shichichi amechu ve'savich. Hear, O daughter, and see and incline your ear. Forget also your own people and your father's house. Hear the singer proceeds to instruct the queen in the ways of wisdom. Although you will be placed at the king's right hand, dressed in gold of Ophir, let not your heart grow haughty and do not be brazen towards him. Rather, hear, O daughter, heed the words of the king, and see and incline your ear to do all that he tells you. A related interpretation says, hear and see on your own what needs to be done, and then the king will not have to make demands. Forget the customs of your own people and of your father's house. Whenever the king demands of you what was not customary there, then again, the singer turns to the congregation of Israel to inform her that in the Messianic age, all Jews together will be like a single heart. They will forget what tribe or clan they come from, patriarchal clan they come from. Thus Hashem said to the prophet, take one stick of wood and join them one to the other to make one stick of wood, and they will become one in your hand. A pasuk is found in Yechezkel. Envy will disappear when they become one nation, united in the knowledge that Mashiach is your God and your true King, and to do homage to him. pasuk also refers to the Torah. In order to become worthy of understanding the parts of the Torah and its reasons, one must remove oneself from all worldly concerns. Thus the singer says to the congregation of Israel, in order to hear, O daughter, and see and incline your ear, you must forget also your own people and your father's house. Then will the king desire your beauty, for he is your God. Then once again you have been found worthy of his knowledge, and do homage to him with many songs of praises. If the pasuk is interpreted as referring to the soul, the singer says in effect, forget your own people and your father's house, the physical environment, and remember that you were taken from a place of purity. Thus the Torah says in Chumash Vayikra, holy you shall be, for I, Hashem, your God, am holy. Do not be misled by the complaint that man's physical nature is an obstacle to holiness, for I, the Hashem, who gives you a spirit of life, am holy. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12, Vayis'ov HaMelech Yofyeh Ki Hu Adonayach V'Yishtachav Lo. Then will the king desire your beauty, for he is your Lord, and do homage to him. The singer explains to the queen that if she will hear the king's voice, obey his will, then the king will desire your beauty, for he is your God. When he sees that he is your God, that you accept his authority and thereby do homage to him, he will accept your beauty. In the pasuk, if the pasuk is perceived as referring to the soul, then the singer here compares the love of Hashem to the love between a man and a woman, as Shlomo did in the Song of Songs. Although Shlomo employs the physical metaphor, our sages say that the entire world is not worth the day when the Shir HaShirim was given to mankind. Similarly, the sons of Korach, renowned Torah scholars, compare this love to the love of a king for his queen on the day of his betrothal and on the day of the joy of his heart. Again, this is a pasuk found in Shir HaShirim. This is also an allusion to Torah study. If a man desires to study Torah, he must fulfill the condition taught by our sages, to exile yourself to a place of Torah. Far from the involvements of his home, he will be able to dedicate himself totally to this endeavor. Similarly, David HaMelech said, for my father and mother have forsaken me, Hashem has gathered me in. In the previous pasuk we find this, Sefer Tehillim. Here he says, hear, O daughter, and see and incline your ear. Forget also your own people and your father's house. In other words, one who studies Torah must remove from his heart all the pleasures that he enjoyed in the house of his father. Then the king will desire your beauty. The King of Kings will desire your beauty in this world by extending to you a thread of grace. There is no other beauty in the world comparable to that thread of grace. We will continue Mir Tashem in our next year.
We are learning Sefer Tehillim with a commentary by Amlois, by Rabbi Shmuel Yishalmi. This is Shir number 22. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this Shir on tape or CD, or any of our other Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. We are holding in chapter 44, Pasuk 23. And I'm going to repeat the pasuk again. Ki olecho horagnu kol hayom nechshavnu ketzon tivcho. But for your sake we are killed all day. We are considered as sheep for the slaughter. This also refers to circumcision. For there were many occasions when the wicked nations decreed forced conversion upon us and made circumcision punishable by death. We nevertheless continue to perform this mitzvah. This was true in the time of Hashmoneans, and is also true in our own day, as the following episode makes clear. It took place during World War II in one of the death camps, where those accursed embodiments of evil, the Germans, assembled millions of our people for incineration. A mother held up a newborn infant son who had not been brought into the covenant of Abraham, and turning to another Jew said, "Here, circumcise the child, for I want him to die as a proper Jew." Right there and then, in the light cast by the flames of the death, the child was circumcised. "But we are killed for your sake all day. It is not as if our afflictions would continue for a time and then cease. They continued all day without pause." Another interpretation says, when a Jew recites every day, "And you will love Hashem your God with all your heart and with all your soul," a pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim, and he stands ready to give up his life out of love for Hashem, this is reckoned to his credit, as if at that very moment he had actually been killed for your sake. The Sefer Hasidim writes, when a Jew is ridiculed for performing the mitzvah, and he protests at the insults that are hurled at him, it is reckoned as if he had been killed sanctifying the name of Hashem, and his blood was spilled for your sake. For the blood first rushes to his face and then recedes, leaving him deathly pale. Pasuk Chav Dalet, Pasuk 24. Ura lama sisha nadonoi hakisa al tiznach lenetzach. Awaken, why do you seem to sleep, O Hashem? Arouse yourself, do not cast us off forever. Now that we have fallen to this lowest ebb of degradation, that we are thought of us as sheep for the slaughter, as we learned in the previous pasuk, and our belly cleaves to the earth, as we'll learn in two pasukim from now, we call out to you. Awaken, why do you seem to sleep, O Hashem? Arouse yourself, do not cast us off forever. If you see our troubles and do not respond, it is as if you are asleep and do not see anything. But even if for so many years you appear to be asleep, arouse yourself from now on, do not cast us off forever. You seem to sleep. This interpretation is conveyed by the separation mark, vertical line between Tishon, sleep, and Adonai, Lord. In other words, the sleep is only meant as a metaphor. We do not ascribe actual bodily functions to Hashem. The present pasuk includes a hint to the horrendous calamity that befell our generation between the years 1939 and 1945 during the World War II, when the most evil of persecutors, may his name and remembrance be erased, rose up and sought to destroy and kill and annihilate all the Jewish people, like we find in Megillas Esther. With the help of his own foul people and his foul henchmen from other lands, he succeeded in annihilating 6 million Jews. May God avenge their blood. Pasuk Chav Hei, Pasuk 25. Lama panecha tastir tishkach on yenu v'lachatzenu. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? It is your way to stand by the poor and helpless, so why do you hide your face, your divine presence? You about whom it says, Hashem seeks to pursue, a pasuk that's found in Kehelis. Why do you forget our affliction and our oppression? This entire confrontation is a figurative expression by analogy with the human sphere. As the Talmud says, the Torah is spoken in the language of man. Pasuk Chavav, Pasuk 26. Ki shocha la'ofer nafshenu dovko la'oritz bitneinu. For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaves to the earth. We are so overwhelmed by our troubles that our soul is bowed down to the dust. We do not even possess enough strength to support ourselves with our hands, so our belly cleaves to the earth. When one falls on his hands, he can rise by his own power, but not if one falls on his belly. The way of Hashem is not as the way of flesh and blood. When a man sees a well-established and prosperous individual, he helps him stand and offers his assistance. When he sees someone collapse, he helps him fall. It is otherwise in relationship to Hashem, blessed be He. When he sees a man grow haughty, he makes him fall. And when he sees a man fall to the lowest level, he makes him stand up. As it says, he raises up the poor and helpless out of the dust. A pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. David says the same thing here. And he also goes on to say, when I said my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Hashem, help me up. For our soul is bowed down to the dust. We have already reached the lowest point of the fall, and the time to rise up has come. Thus it says, Nafla lo sosif kum besulas Yisrael, with our sages have explained as follows. If she has fallen so low that she cannot continue to fall, Nafla lo sosif, then the moment has come to say, Arise, O Virgin Israel, kum besulas Yisrael. Pasuk Chav Zayin, Pasuk 27. Kum ez rasa lanu v'deinu laman chastecha. Arise for our help and redeem us by your merciful loving kindness. We do not approach you for help and the strength of our righteous deeds. Act by virtue of your loving kindness. We ask for your loving kindness because of our trust in you. As it says, he that trusts in Hashem will be surrounded by loving kindness. The pasuk we already learned. Our sages elaborate in five places. In book 1 of Tehillim, the David called upon Hashem to arise. But Hashem said to him, I will not arise until the poor, the plundered, and the needy continue to groan. Thus it says, For the plunder of the poor, for the groans of the needy, now I will arise. Compare it to a man who was traveling with his son from city to city. By the time they traversed half the distance, the lad grew tired and cried out, Father, Father, when will we reach the city? Father answered, Wait, the time will come when we will enter the city. They walked a bit more, and the son again cried out, When will we reach the city? I'm far too exhausted already. The reply came, Wait only a little more, and we will come to the city. Thus they went for the entire journey, until at last they arrived. My son, let this be your sign. When you reach the cemetery, know that the city is nearby. Similarly, the Jewish people in exile cry out to Hashem, When will the redemption come? He tells them, My children, when terrible afflictions strike you, be assured that deliverance is close at hand. Thus the Navi Yirmiyahu says, It is a time of trouble to Yaakov, but we will be saved out of it. Hashem has promised that when we descend to the lowest point, immediately the ascent will begin. As it says in Chumash Shmos, And he will go up from the land. That is to say, after we will have reached the nadir of our situation where our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaves to the earth. Then you will arise for our help and redeem us by your loving kindness. There is the indication here that our enslavement to the nations will cease prior to the full redemption. That is, first you will arise for our help to lift us from the dust, and then you will redeem us by your loving kindness. The same thing happened in Mitzrayim. First came the Exodus, and only later the Jews entered the promised land there to Israel. There is this difference, however, that the final redemption will last forever. Now we go to chapter 45, Pasuk 1. Lam Netzeach al Shoshanim b'nei Korach Maskil Shir Yedidos. For the conductor upon Shoshanim roses the psalm of the sons of Korach Maskil, a song of loves. The present psalm describes the virtues of a true king of the Jewish people. If he possesses all the qualities of excellence listed here, he merits to achieve glory and splendor, and his reign endures. Some say that the sons of Korach allude here to David HaMelech, but others say that they allude to the Messianic king. There is also an allusion to the high stature of Torah scholars. They are also called kings. The psukim that speak of the queen then refer to the soul. If the present psalm speaks of the Messianic king, the previous psalm spoke of exile that will be followed by the redemption. There it said, You have cast off and brought us to confusion and shame, and you do not go forth with our host. And here the Torah announces the good tiding that the previous love between Hashem and the Jewish people will yet return. Indeed, it will grow stronger than it was in both its physical and spiritual manifestations. The psalm is therefore called a song of loves in the plural. Within the same interpretation, Yedidos alludes to the name of the Mashiach, Yedidja, of one whom Hashem loves, or else one who loves Hashem. The present psalm is called here Shoshanim, roses, for it speaks favorably of the people of Israel, who are called Shoshanim. Like a rose among thorns, so is my beloved among the daughters, a pasuk that's found in Shir Ashir. It's also called Shir Yedidos, a song of Yedidos, because the name of the Messianic king will be Yedidja, a friend of Hashem, the same name his forefather King David was given. Furthermore, because the psalm contains words of wisdom and enlightenment, it's also called Maskil. Thus it says about the Messianic king, "Behold, my servant will be enlightened. He will be exalted and extolled and be very high." A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. And our sages elaborate, "He will be exalted and extolled and be very high, more so than the others." According to the interpretation that the pleasant psalm recounts the virtues of David HaMelech and the splendor of his greatness, it is called a song of loves because he was beloved by Hashem and beloved by his people. Some say that the psalm speaks in praise of the sons of Korach, who were as roses among thorns, a pasuk that is found in Shir Shirim, and were saved from the fate that befell Korach's band. They were like roses whom Hashem plucked from the midst of Korach's band. In a related sense too, they were like a rose which opens its heart to receive the dew and then blossoms beautifully. Thus it says, "I will be as the dew to Israel. He will flower like the rose," a pasuk in Hosea, which is interpreted to mean, when will the Jewish people flower? When they will be like the rose whose heart opens to receive the dew. The Torah says that if a man opens his heart, he merits to receive life-giving dew, as happened to the sons of Korach. Because they repented wholeheartedly, they merited a share in the world to come and were called roses. Some say that because the present psalm speaks about the qualities of righteous people, it was based on the sons of Korach, who spurned the counsel of their father and cleaved to Hashem, was called Yedid, a friend. Hence it begins with the word Lam Natzeach, literally to the victor. The sons of Korach were victorious by being enlightened, Maskil. A parable and its meaning. The Medrash says a king visited another country, and the people there wanted to place on his head a gold crown embellished with precious gems and pearls. However, the king's courtiers informed them in his name, "Our king does not desire a gold crown. If roses are to be found, make him a crown of roses." The sons of Korach shared the view of the others in his band that Hashem wanted gold trays, but Hashem said to them, "What need have I of gold, when the silver is mine and the gold is mine?" It's a pasuk that is found in Haggai. "Indeed, what need have I even of spice offerings? What then do I seek? Roses?" Whereupon the sons of Korach said, "We are as roses." So Hashem said to them, "You have been victorious." To the victor of roses, or the sons of Korach the enlightened, a song of loves. The meaning of this matter is as follows. The high value of precious stones and pearls is due to their fewness in this world, scarcity in this world. Roses are different. Although plentiful, they are enjoyed by everyone rather than only by a privileged few. The above parable says that it is God's will for everyone in the community to strive for excellence. Perfection should not be the concern solely of only a privileged few. There are such sages point to the difference between Chanoch and Moshe. Chanoch, who walked with Hashem like we find in Chumash Bereishis, departed before his time, and after his death came the flood. But when Moshe died, he left behind him a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, like we find in Chumash Shemos. The sons of Korach understood the greatness of Moshe, our teacher. They saw that he sacrificed himself for the good of the community of Israel, and even now he strove to preserve the unity of the Jewish people by speaking as he did to their father. So they did not heed Korach's bitter words that Moshe was not greater than him. That is what a Chachamim meant by saying that the sons of Korach cried out, "We are roses," and Hashem replied, "You have been victorious. It is written with me on high that this is my will." Accordingly, the pasuk here says that the sons of Korach were maskil. They showed enlightened understanding with their song of loves for Hashem and for Moshe. Our sages draw upon another parable. A Roman matron saw three men being led out to be crucified, and she ransomed them. Many days later, she beheld a caravan of travelers bearing the imperial flag. The same thing happened to the sons of Korach, who disagreed with their father. Korach was swallowed up by the earth, but his sons, because they repented, became prophets and roses. The rose is beautiful to behold and can also be enjoyed for its fine smell. A similar thing may be said about the present psalm. The more profoundly it is contemplated, the more one can discover a spirit of wisdom and understanding. Some say that David composed this psalm about his son Shlomo. Another opinion is that it speaks about a chosan, a bridegroom, on the day of his wedding. According to the interpretation that the psalm refers to Torah,